Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Kavaza, and for today, it is an interesting one because we are going to be talking to an entrepreneur around their business. One of the things that we've tended to focus a little bit of our attention on this platform is the startup space, you know, the business people, where they've come from, where they're going, and some of the solutions that people are coming up with. And for today, we are joined by Sam Clark, who is the founder and CEO of Skynamo, which is said to be the first app developed targeting business-to-business retail sales reps. And they've actually just secured about $30 million in funding. And if you want to understand what $30 million is, I think you're roughly, you know, sitting between half a billion and 600 million rand in terms of funding. And we're just going to be talking to him just around what their business is, how they actually work, and where they are seeing themselves going in the near future. Sam, greetings to you.
Hi, Mudiwa. Thank you very much.
No. Thank you so much for joining us on the platform. I just wanted to, I guess, a good point of departure is for you to maybe take us, firstly, you know, what is Skynamo and what does the app actually do? And where did you guys actually get your start?
Sure. So Skynamo is, we call ourselves the field sales app. It's a little bit of a misnomer. Skynamo is a management platform. It's a CRM for field-based sales agents, so often sales reps. So this category of employee, they're often maligned. We all know the stereotypes of the sales rep on the golf course instead of the sales rep hard at work. And we don't really like that stereotype. We think that the field sales rep is really the main engine in every business. That's what's bringing in the business that lets the rest of the business deliver. And we think that technology providers, sales technology providers, have underserviced this market. And we're trying to bring technological solutions to the field sales rep that can make them maintain their status as the hero in every business. So we're really focused on the sales reps that get up every morning, they get in their cars, and they go and they see the clients on a daily basis. And they maintain relationship with those clients. They do business analysis together with those clients. They're usually extremely knowledgeable in their vertical. They're able to share deep insights with their clients. Very often they'll capture orders and deal with other queries while they're at their clients. So Skynamo is a solution that provides technology to this category of employee.
And if someone is actually on the Skynamo platform, how does it actually work?
So the Skynamo platform is really broken up into, we've got two main user types. We've got a manager user. That's somebody who's logging into the system to get an understanding of what's happening out in the field. So this provides them with detailed reporting of what activities have been happening, which customers have been seen, what has been discussed, and analytics around the types of interactions. You know, are the sales reps having to deal with complaints, or are they mostly dealing with new product promotion? So management gets really a holistic understanding of what's happening in the field. We often, when we're thinking about it, we're thinking about the manager doing a virtual ride along with the sales reps, so that they really understand what's happening in the field. And the other user is obviously the rep in the field. So the rep in the field, we have an app. You go to the Google Play Store, you go to the Apple App Store, you install the app, log in with your credentials, and then the app populates to your specific business. We do a lot of work in trying to make the app as user-friendly as we can for the field agent, because the field agents work extremely hard, and they spend a lot of time doing admin already, and we don't want to add to the admin load. We actually want to take away the admin load from them. So we've got sort of a core belief that if we make the system easy to use for the field agents, then they will use it. And our adoption from the field agents is excellent. And that excellent adoption from the field agent means that the management reports are more relevant than they would otherwise be.
I guess as a follow-up to that is for Skynamo, because I'm picturing it in my head and I'm wondering to myself, are you guys leaning more towards being a CRM sort of platform or sort of more a workflow tool, you know, something that internally teams can use to, I guess, better collaborate, or is it more CRM side?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So what makes Skynamo a little bit different from other people in the market is we have a field agent or field rep centric view. So we have all the components in the tool that a field rep would need. So that means that we have components from CRM, we have components from ERP, we have components from time and activity management, we have components of analytics, all built into the same platform, so that we have our chief product officer often talks about a Swiss Army knife, where you've got five or six different tools in one, as opposed to a single dedicated corkscrew. And then what we do on the back end is we integrate with back office systems. So integration for us is a core part of our business and a key differentiator. So we will integrate the CRM components of Skynamo into any other CRM system that you're using. So you might be using Salesforce on the back end, and we'll just integrate with that. And on your ERP for order handling or for stock management, you might be using a Sage product, and then we'll integrate into that product or SAP, so that the sales agent only has to deal with one tool while out in the field. And then on the back end, we'll divide things up so that the correct office tools get the right information and pass the right information from those office tools back into Skynamo.
That actually sounds like quite an interesting tool, and especially if you're saying that it has that interoperability between the different, the ERP platforms that people are using out there. I want to take a step back, before we come back to the platform itself and sort of understand how you sort of came up with this idea. Was it something born out of frustration in the field, or did you sort of just identify that this could be something that you could tackle as an issue?
So our founding story is not a Silicon Valley story. It's not a couple of guys in a garage with a brilliant idea. So our founding story is a lot more humble than that. We're technologists in our historical roots. I'm an engineer, and we had the technological capabilities to write apps with back-end systems, and we decided to start a company centered around that. So our business plan around founding was really to create a company as opposed to the creation of a product. So we initially called our business Field Office. And we were going to get service contracts to write software on demand for clients. And hopefully we would find a problem that is big enough that we can build a product around and then pivot to a product company. So that was the business plan at the outset. Things didn't work out that way. I think things very rarely follow the business plans. What happened was we tendered for a few contracts in the space, and we didn't win those tenders. And the reason was understandable and very simple. We just didn't have the track record. So, a large company isn't going to award a tender to a small company of technologists when they can award that tender to, Didata or whoever the large IT company is. So what we did is we wrote a proof of concept application in this field sales space. And we wrote it around the needs of one of my friends who I'd studied with. He'd started a company that was selling an Alcopop. So we wrote this application around his needs as a proof of concept so that we could really claim credentials in the space for the next time that a tender came up. So we wrote the application. It worked really, really well for him to the extent that he was prepared to pay for it, even as a friend. And then another friend who's also in the wine industry saw the application and said, you should show this to my boss. So I went and showed it to his boss, and he said, this looks great. We'll take four licenses. And so we licensed it for, another four licenses. And then we were at a golf day. One of our directors was at a golf day, And there was a sales agent for a wine company at a wet hole. And he said, well, what application are you using? And they said, well, nothing. So we got the contact details for his manager, contacted his manager, and they said, great, we'll take 18. So it really just started to sell. And we started developing it around the needs of our clients as the domain experts. And one thing led to another. And around 2016, so about 3.5 years, 4 years into the business, we realized that the sales rep app was going to consume all of our resources, and we dropped the field office title, and we decided to really just focus on this one application as our product and build a business around that.
It also sounds like the actual growth itself in the beginning was quite organic. You know, someone just sees the application, they seem interested, or there's an approach of what are you using? And someone says, no, nothing. You know, and you say, okay, fine, but we have this. Why don't you think about it? What year is this happening?
So this is happening in 2012. So the iPhone is out, the iPad is out, Android was still quite young. We were operating on Android in those days. The whole world is starting to get wise to smartphones, to tablets. Vodacom and MTN are rolling out 3G, so we're starting to get reliable, good data connections. It was really, I think that many people have tried this business since the 90s. With Palm Pilots and all the devices that we had before. But I think that what really changed from 2010, 2011 was the dawn of the smartphone. So the smartphone changed everything. It was an enabling technology that allowed this type of business to really flourish.
And then it is 2012. That's around, as you said, you've got the iPad, you've got the iPhone. So the right mix of technology is there for you to be able to put this together. In terms of the actual business model, what is the business model? How does Skynomo actually make money? And how did you guys end up actually developing that business model?
So Skynomo follows the SaaS business model, so software as a service, which is a subscription business. It's software used to follow a capital outlay model where a company would pay a huge amount of money and then they would get CDs or some other delivery of software. And then the software vendor would disappear and lose interest in the client because it was a once-off sale. And software, we all know, has moved into this subscription model where we pay a monthly fee and then we have access to using the software. So we chose that business model. We really like it. We think that it suits the way that technology works, because having technology as a subscription service means that your software provider is actively involved in developing the product in a new way in order to retain you as a client. So the business is all about acquiring clients and then retaining those clients. So we talk about the lifetime value of a client, and we talk about the cost of client acquisition as our two fundamental metrics: is how many clients do we have, what did it cost us to acquire them, and what is our expected lifetime value of this client? So how long will they subscribe to our service?
In that, because what you're saying is, you know, it's definitely a big trend. Adobe switched from, you know, selling Creative Suite products to selling subscriptions. Microsoft has also done it with Windows. In the beginning, you did say that you were giving out licenses. Were those renewable licenses, or did you have to shift those first initial clients over to a subscription model?
No, we started off with a subscription model from day one. So we've had quite a lot of resistance to it, especially, let's call them, larger companies that maybe aren't as used to buying in the consumer space, where they wanted to buy a 3-year or pay, you know, a capital amount and then have a license for at least 3 years. So initially we were met with quite a lot of resistance, but it looks like we chose the right strategy. The SaaS business model is definitely a big macro trend, and everybody is now using that, as you say, even Adobe.
So you've got the right technology, you've got the business model, you've got a business model that actually works. You've got customers that are willing to be on the platform. You've got the proven concept. When it comes to funding now, how far along are you guys in that journey? I think we started off talking about the fact that you guys have recently raised the $30 million. Is this the first fund? Is this what number funding round is this? And where are the plans going from there?
So Skynova was born out of a business which today is called AlphaWave, AlphaWave.co.za. So AlphaWave is a technology company. It's a company that I'd done business with in the past, and we started this company together effectively as a joint venture. So AlphaWave has been funding Skynova through its early years. But it's not a VC. It's not a typical venture fund. So there are no funding rounds. It was really a month to month helping with carrying costs. What happened when we realized that we were at the point where this was our product in early 2016. We had to become profitable at that point. So we intentionally slowed down the growth of the business to the point where we were actually profitable on a month-to-month basis. And so we didn't require funding at that point. We then embarked on restructuring the business because we were structured more as a services business than as a product business, and building out our executive team. That took us really from 2016 to 2018 and to building that pitch deck we wanted to take to investors, and the story we wanted to take to investors, and then we started looking for funding to grow internationally. So within the South African market, we'd reached prior up to 2016, and from 2016 onwards, we reached a size where we were profitable and self-sustaining, and we could have maintained that growth trajectory inside of South Africa, but our dreams are bigger than that. So we wanted to expand internationally, and that required raising capital. We did an introduction into the UK market in 2017, so we had a good idea of what the costs would be for expanding into international markets, and we realized we just couldn't do that organically. So we started approaching the market for funding. It was really, really difficult to raise funding in South Africa for venturing overseas. There's a lot of people want to fund in South Africa for Africa, but funding in South Africa for going overseas, that was more of a challenge. I was in the US looking for funding, busy raising funding, when Five Elms Capital contacted me. I flew to Kansas City to see them. We had a 6-hour meeting. We really hit each other off well, and they've called me with a letter of intent the next day. They've been a fantastic partner.
And in terms of, there are two things I'm trying to, perhaps understand on that point. The first one being, what prompted the decision to actually decide that you'd rather go overseas as opposed to expanding on the continent? And then I guess the second one is, now that you have this link, when it comes to Five Elms, have you found that getting interest in terms of an international client base has become somewhat easier?
Yes. So we looked at what we'd built, and we looked at what was available in the world, and we realized that Skynova really is dominant. We've got a really, really good product, and we wanted to compete head on head with the best in the world in the United States. We don't think that the technology we built needs to be kept to the side. We think that we can become a dominant player globally. So it really made sense to go where the market is. And in the US, the B2B market is $14 trillion. So it really just makes sense to go to try to capture that market. So the second part of the question with the link with Five Elms has helped immeasurably. And most of that help has actually been through connections to other companies. So they have a very, very narrow portfolio. Their portfolio is only B2B software companies. So what they've done is they've connected us with the other companies inside of their portfolios. And we have learned so much about how to operate this kind of business from those other portfolio companies. So they've taught us things around credibility in overseas markets. Many of them have followed a similar journey to us, where they come from maybe Colombia or somewhere else, and they're now selling in the States. So they've taught us how to overcome those hurdles, but many other things about structuring business and how to put a software business together that is going to become a global player.
Any plans on a listing of some sort, perhaps on an alternative exchange, or perhaps on one of the startup exchanges like in Toronto or something? Or would you rather stay within private funding at the moment?
I think that for the next 5 years, I think that Skynamo will stay with private funding. I think we've gotten a really good funder, and they've got appetite to see this investment through to really a point where it's quite large. How we exit and how we get the investors a return on the investment, that's not something that we've decided yet. My guess is it will be private equity, though, not public equity.
Okay. And then in terms of the future, what is the future looking like for you guys? And as you're answering that, can you give us some color around what the business actually looks like right now?
So the business today is still sitting primarily as a South African business. We've only recently started with the international expansion. We're busy hiring and busy growing the team to the point that we need it to be. So this year, the first 6 months of this year has really been about trying to find the right people and trying to onboard them and get them going. And COVID hasn't really helped us in that regard, but we have managed to get our employees. I think we're at 96 now, and we've got still another 12 or so vacant positions. So it's really about building a big global business is where we're going. We see that Skynamo can be a global business with fully fledged operations in many countries, including South Africa.
Any you know, sort of big clients that you know, some of our listeners might be able to relate to in terms of who's using Skynamo, and you know, perhaps just a sense of what your user base looks like.
Our user base is biased. We've got a long tail of very small clients, so we have a very large number of clients with only a handful of sales reps. And then we have our blue chip clients at the top end. So at the top end, we have we're very, very strong with the Bidvest Group. They've been a phenomenal client for us from Walton's in Bidfood, so the Chipkins business. So all the way up to blue chip clients, we have very large clients. We have clients with large user numbers in the sales and merchandising space. So one of the Smolens subsidiaries. So very, very customer base, everything from liquor to protective equipment to tires to oil to cosmetics. So we've really got a varied user base in terms of industry, but everybody's in the same sort of part of the value chain.
Perhaps as a last point, as we end off, you did touch just now on how COVID hasn't helped the business. So how has the business actually evolved, I guess, pre-COVID? And what has COVID actually done in terms of actually shifting, you know, where you guys thought or think you're going to be going? And what do you think it's going to be doing for some of the potential clients that you would have, you know, perhaps been going after at this time? Do you still have that type of focus, or has COVID-19 sort of helped you guys to sort of narrow your focus?
I think that what COVID has done is it's helped us to understand how important face-to-face interactions with people are and to us as human beings. So where there was a lot of talk about how, you know, we can get away with field sales or we can get away with B2B commerce. I think that what's happened with COVID is we miss interacting with people. You know, this working from home on Zoom calls all day just doesn't give us the same level of human connection that we've had in the past and that we seem to need as humans. So for us, it's really been a realization that people want to buy from people. They want to buy in person. And what we're busy doing around COVID is really trying to think of how can we do that safely? So how can we get humans to speak to humans and interact with humans in a way that is safe? So it's about going touchless. It's about going paperless. It's about ensuring safety checks. So we, inside the app, inside Skynamo, we give the sales rep questions that prompt them to look for safety in the places that they're going when they walk into a client's premises. Then they should never have to pass anything to a client. So you shouldn't share pens, you shouldn't pass a catalog or a price list or something like that to a client. So it's around trying to create safety in those in-person interactions.
Oh, okay. So my final point is just the economy itself. It's one of those things that it's a very hard one to predict. But for you, since you are sort of moving towards growing outside of South Africa, how are you feeling about the global economy versus what's going on in South Africa?
So South Africa seems to be, let's call it, in the middle of the pack. So we're seeing a far more aggressive attitude to maintaining business in the United States, and we're seeing less strong support from business to business maintenance in the UK, where they have the furlough system. So South Africa seems in the middle of the pack where in terms of aggressiveness, where business really seems to care about people and safety of people. But we think that, I mean, it's clear to everybody, the economy has taken a huge knock. And a lot of our client base sits in hospitality and hospitality supply, and they've been decimated. It's not a good time for anybody who's got a business in those industries. So we're focusing our growth strategies onto the sectors of the economy that aren't as hard hit. It's a hard time to sell to hospitality supply, but we are finding that there's a really good opportunity. Our clients that are in PPE are doing phenomenally well. So the economy shifts around, but there's always an opportunity.
So that's been us with Sam Clark, who is the founder and CEO of Skynamo. And he's just talking to us about, the journey of their business, how they decided to begin this particular business, the way that they were able to go around growing the business organically, the fact that it was helped in 2012 at its inception by having the right mix of technology, the rise of tablet computing, smartphones, and the like, all coming together and just getting people interested in the software. Also just talking about, this debate around subscription as a service, the model that's actually evolved now, and him just, being confident in the fact that they chose the right business model. Also taking us through the funding. It's something that we've heard a lot of local business people complaining about, that it is hard to sometimes raise funding for certain projects in South Africa. So they've actually been helped by looking over to the United States market, and they're going to be expanding out. And COVID-19 is actually helping them to realize that people actually just enjoy talking to each other face to face. So that's been us with Sam Clark of Skynamo. Sam, how can people perhaps engage with you if they want to perhaps continue the conversation?
So if they're interested in Skynamo or anything Skynamo related, the contact email address is hello@skynamo.com, and the website is skynamo.com.
So skynamo.com.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Skynamo, I think it's a fascinating application because when it comes to some of these apps, it's one of those things that I don't think the normal consumer is ever going to hear about. But in the world of business, it's sounding like it's something that's going to become, pretty standard in the world of sales. Because one of the crazy things at this moment in time is how much people have to do. So any tool out there that actually helps people to do their work in a somewhat easier way, and for for perhaps team leaders, team managers, sales managers to actually see what their reps are actually doing in the field, and perhaps having the reps themselves networking with each other on this one application actually seems to be making sense and something that's garnered quite a big market. Because when you see a $30 million dollar funding, you know, funding from a US company, that's actually it's not small money. And as he said, it was hard to raise that kind of money in the local market, and the fact that they're garnering that type of interest from a US player actually gives credence to what the business model actually could be. The one that it's also interesting to me, I've had my gripes around this subscription as a service business model, but it makes perfect sense because you need to have a person patronizing your business for a long time to come, and there's nothing better than creating a tool that a person actually enjoys, wants to use, and then having them, you know, sort of pay in perpetuity for it. So I think it's probably a business model that definitely makes sense. And when you talk to a lot of business people, they say that sales is a very good tool to have in terms of if you ever want to run your own business. So, you know, it would be interesting if the business would maybe incorporate those sort of things onto its platforms, you know, techniques on how to close a deal, techniques on how to approach a client, you know, that sort of thing. But we'll wait to see, you know, perhaps they'll add some of those features into the app. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Life. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter. We're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you so much to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Buliwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.